This episode of Section D was first broadcast on the 8th of September 2015 on Monocle 24. Section D on Monocle 24 in association with Squarespace. Hello and welcome to Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated design show. It's going to be me, David Pleasant, bringing you the programme today. We have a design fair extravaganza as we take to what has become the prime gathering for those who work in the business of homes and interiors, and specifically the objects we decide to fill them with. In this episode, we'll be bringing you the sights, sounds, trends and industry insights of the Maison et Objet trade fair in Paris. The Danes still seem to dominate when it comes to desirable but affordable design pieces for the home. We'll be speaking to Rolf Hay of Copenhagen brand Hay to see if the price is still right.
We are working with design in a democratic context, and we don't want our clients to feel that we are hard to get.
And from those tastefully designed Danish knickknacks for human use to a furniture and design range made for our furry friends, German brand Miyakara.
If you have a member of a family, you want to give them something nice, and then it needs to be functional but also nicely designed, because you want to put it into a nice interior design.
Plus, we speak to world-renowned Italian designer Giulio Iacchetti, who's busy reinterpreting his native country's manufacturing traditions. All that to come and plenty more besides, right here on Section D on Monocle 24. As the September trade fair crazy season gets into full swing, Maison et Objet in Paris has just celebrated its 20th anniversary. If you're in the business of buying for the design industry, these fairs are your lifeblood. But how does one fair stand out above all the others? Director General Philippe Brocard showed Monocle around and also revealed how he has just managed to make 2,000 of the exhibitors move their stands this time round. No mean feat, as positioning is everything in the science of trade fair footfall. An object lesson in the art of the big trade fair from Paris this year. So let's start by hearing from Philippe, who I met at the Monocle Café in Hall 7 of the Maison et Objet trade fair last weekend.
I will say that for this anniversary, the year has been really important for us, because we launched our first show in Miami Beach in May, so the idea was to export the brand and the concept in North and Latin America, and we have been quite successful. We also, for this September edition, changed a lot of things in the show, in the layout, in the organization, because we want to follow or to anticipate the changes in terms of retail or in terms of interior design. So, for example, we are here with Monocle on the Hall 7, where we have now Sand Interior and Nao, which is a mix of contemporary design and high-end decoration.
Monocle was placed in Hall 8 last year. We're now in Hall 7, much more spacious, much more spread out. Are you giving more attention to this type of stand, this type of concept? Do you think that's really what people are coming here to see, that sort of mixture, that style of fair?
Yes, the mixture is important, because a lot of consumers now, they are not only looking for contemporary design, sometimes they're also looking to mix the atmosphere, for example, with unique pieces or with limited edition that we can find, for example, in Sand Interior. So it really creates new traffic and opportunity for buyers, retailers, to both buy contemporary design but also a limited or unique edition.
In terms of strategy, in terms of how you plan a huge fair like this, is there a sort of science? Are you developing that? There's so many things going on, so many different markets, so many different people with different expectations coming here, whether they're buyers, exhibitors, the public, just wanting to have a nice Saturday out. How are you sort of managing all those? Because it's a complex challenge. So many different types of people here.
So what we try to do is that we travel a lot. So we try to identify trends all over the world, because 50% of our visitors coming from abroad. So we're not looking for what's going on the French market. We need to look at what's going on the global market. What we also do is that we try to spend a lot of time with our exhibitors, with our customer, understanding their needs and understanding where they want to go. We also try to spend times and to discuss with our visitors. It could be retailers, buyers from department store, designer, architects. And then at the end of the day, what we need to do is to make decision about the layout. So sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes we take some bet, which was the case this September edition, because I think that we moved something like 2,000 exhibitors, which is...
You moved them from one place to the other. So you had to negotiate that with 2,000 different companies. How does that work? Are you managing a whole team? You know, do you have a chart? You know, yes, no, problem?
No, we had to do that in a very limited period of time, because we have two shows a year. So we started this idea end of next year in December. So we just have 7 or 8 months to convince all those customers, all those exhibitors that what we do will be good for them.
I've been walking around and I've been interested to meet young designers, startup, French or otherwise. There obviously are a lot of French designers here. How are you attracting them? You know, it's quite difficult for a designer that's starting from fresh, and yet there are plenty here. How are you encouraging them? You know, are there enticements for them?
That's our passion. That's what we like to do, is to help startup, help young designer to develop their company. So we like the entrepreneur. And this year, the anniversary communication was based on that. The baseline was born and raised with Maison Objet. It means that a lot of companies here, they start very small with us, and now they are a medium-sized company, and they export all over the world. So what is important, that even if you are a startup, you don't have a lot of money, if you invest in Maison Objet, in 5 days, you can meet buyers, retailers, interior architects from all over the world. So the return on investment is quite significant.
And if we steer away from business and maybe talk about culture and inspirations, we're standing right next to the Inspirations stand. It's an enormous presence this year. What have been some highlights for you from a, you know, enjoyment aspect? We walked around earlier together. There's so much to see. What has really stood out for you this year?
So trends and inspiration is the DNA of Maison Objet. So each session, we choose a team. This year is precious. And around this team, we have an exhibition, an installation where we curate product from the exhibitors, but we also curate pieces of art. And then we have a lot of people, they start the visit of the show by the Inspiration Forum, because they want to know exactly what's going on and where they need to go. So it's very important for us to deliver, to bring those contents.
And finally, if we look at sort of numbers, you've got an increase in visitors this year on last year, some 3%, I believe. Where do you see yourself in a year's time? Are there some kind of areas that you're going to focus less on? Are we going to see more on this type of hall, this type of exhibit, and perhaps less of some of the other types of market? You know, you can't grow everywhere. Where are you sort of planning for next year?
So now we really want to grow on what we call Maison Objet Projet, which is now has his own pavilion, his own hall, because we consider that all those creative, innovative, technical solutions for interior design is totally linked to our market. So we see our growth potential in this area of creative, innovative, technical solutions for interior design.
That was me in conversation with Philippe Brocard, Director General of the Maison et Objet Design Fair, which took place in Paris this week. Monocle was there on the hunt for some of the movers and shakers in the business of homeware design. And when it comes down to offering excellence and style, with a decidedly affordable outlook in terms of pricing, one small nation dominates Maison and the sector in general, and that is Denmark. An aesthetic sensibility grounded in the principles of mid-century modern masters such as Arne Jacobsen and Jacob Jensen seems to still inspire a new generation of designers. But looking good is not the only prerogative. Making design accessible and part of everyday life seems to be the duty of every diligent Danish designer. Since 2002, Hay, the Copenhagen-based brand founded by Rolf and Mette Hay, has been a staple of those with an eye for Scandinavian design without the eye-watering prices. I went along to the large Hay stand to speak to Rolf Hay to find out if pricing needs to be such a prickly topic in the design industry.
We are fully aware of that. It is, to some people, quite unusual what we're doing, and perhaps it's also the reason why we're doing it. but it is clearly a sign that we are business-minded and we are here to do business. We are here to provide our clients, our wholesale clients, with products with a strong price point. And we are aiming to offer high-quality products for a reasonable price. I mean, what we do is not cheap, but I think if design is a priority for you in life, then many people can afford Hay.
It's quite difficult talking about the cost of design. It's a sort of sensitive subject, isn't it? And you, uniquely perhaps here at Maison, you're very honest as a company. You're saying the prices clearly. Do you think in general that doesn't exist? Is it sort of like a closed shop? Do you feel it's a bit of a racket? Not a mafia, but there's something a little bit wrong about what's happening in the industry.
I think things are changing at the moment and has been changing within the last 4 or 5 years. What we try to do here is we try to take things serious, but not too serious. I think you also have to have a little relaxed relationship to what you're doing and not to put it up on too high pedestal. We are working with design in a democratic context, and we don't want our clients to feel that we are hard to get. For us, it is a very important value.
That was Rolf Hay, co-founder of Danish design brand Hay. Now, on the subject of Denmark, let's meet another Dane with a passion for homeware. Around the corner from Hay's explosion of pastel colours was the demure, sleekly toned-down stand of design firm Frama. I popped in, pulled up a rather lovely Frama stool and spoke to member of the team, Niels Stoyer Christofferson.
We have materials in focus and assemble functional, practical pieces with as many natural surfaces as possible.
And let's talk about a recent project. We're in France, we're in Paris, and you seem to have a sort of cultural connection to France in previous work. Maybe in the lead up to this Maison, you actually installed some of your pieces in the French embassy in Denmark, and you've got some wonderful photography of that, beautiful classic shots, wonderful lighting. Describe that project and how important it was for you.
We actually have 3 posters on the fair. And it's showing our pieces, which are, compared to the French embassy, very simple and contemporary, but still a merge of something traditional. And the embassy is super decorative.
Very opulent, lush curtains and tassels and parquet floors, gilt trimmings and so on. And again, if we're looking through that photography, it's a very discreet touch. Your pieces, you really have to search for them. So whether it's some of the smaller pieces on a rather fine table, if you look quickly, you probably wouldn't see anything apart from a period living room. But then you do see this contemporary touch of yours. And finally, if we talk about some of the things you're exhibiting right now, I mean, what kind of things can people look out for? What have you just come up with as a company?
We have this year some small candle holders in polished solid brass. Furthermore, we have some what we call geometric shades. And besides that, we have some shelvings that works kind of as a library on the fair.
And also, we should mention the stools that we're sitting on. They're a new product. They're very comfortable. Again, very simple, sleek, minimal black poles with a nice leather top. That's an adaptation of a previous product.
Yeah, it's a steelsmith who designed the stool. It's, as you mentioned, very basic, but it's super functional with the handle in the middle. And we added leather this year, like natural Argentinian leather, untreated, so it patinates rather quick.
That was Niels Stoyer Christofferson of Danish design company Frama, which exhibited at the Maison et Objet Fair in Paris this week. Plenty more from Paris coming up later in the show as we meet world-renowned Italian designer Giulio Iacchetti at his Interno Italiano stand. Check in on fabrics designer Eleanor Pritchard to see if the British in the sector really are burgeoning, and visit a German stand catering especially for the canine and feline homeware market.
Great design tells stories, and Squarespace's innovative website building tool is the perfect platform from which to tell them beautifully. Showcase your creativity, ideas, and business in style with Squarespace's unrivaled range of online products and services. To see how it could work for you and for a 10% discount, head to squarespace.com and enter the promotion code Monocle. Squarespace. Build it beautiful.
You're listening to Section D with me, David Pleasant. We're bringing you the very best of the Maison et Objet Paris Design Fair today. Now, before the break, we heard from some Danes who have deconstructed what design means for them and their brands. If there's another European country that conjures up some very strong design connotations, then Italy must be it. In 2012, leading Italian product designer Giulio Iacchetti started his own brand, Interno Italiano. And as the name suggests, the focus is very much on the country of provenance. But rather than a showy made in Italy for its own sake approach, Iacchetti chose to go back to basics and find manufacturers down the length of the peninsula that had a particular skill or specialisation. From brooms to cabinets, Interno Italiano's lines exude an unmistakable Italian charm that is in no way clichéd. Here is Iacchetti, followed by designer Dario Gaudio.
Interno Italiano è nato dalla considerazione che l'Italia ha un patrimonio.
Interno Italiano was born from the acknowledgement that Italy has a rich heritage, originating from a network of artisans specialized in working with a huge range of materials, from marble to glass, wood, or ceramics. So I thought to gather these great values, which today truly express Italy, and to turn this project into a kind of enormous factory spread all over Italy.
Per Interno Italiano, là c'è un po' di fabbrica di Interno Italiano, sul quale siamo seduti è un po' l'archetipo.
These small stools we are sitting on represent what Interno Italiano stands for. First of all, this stool is a very simple object, easily interpreted. Everybody can understand that it's a stool. Objects that are understandable in their function, realized in an artisanal, authentic way, using original, high-quality materials, like solid wood, and we want to highlight that this object can only be produced by a craftsman.
Può essere realizzato solo da un artigiano, autentici. Io li chiamo felici.
I call these objects happy, because they are created in a spirit of harmony and love for one's work, and a deep respect for people who work on the project. This may not be immediately evident, but it is present, it exists, and it's the reason why we include ever more designers in our project, and new artisans themselves volunteer to work for us.
Naturalmente, nuovi artigiani che loro stessi si propongono di lavorare per noi.
We've just met Giulio, who started Interno Italiano. You're one of the designers that he's found, and you have one of your objects here. Tell us your name and tell us about your object.
My name is Dario Gaudio. I'm a designer. I work with Giulio since, I think, 5 years. And the Turi wall clock is my project for Interno Italiano.
And describe the clock.
I've started designing this clock a long time ago, but it came out after a few months. I always look at the things we have in our houses. In Italian houses, there's a lot of old things that no one never uses. Sometimes also some pots on the walls of the kitchen. The material of these pots is copper. And I love this material. It's really warm, it's fantastic. I would like to bring these things together into an object, a modern object, minimal in some kinds of way, but using an old material, very old material.
Just looking around, I'm looking at some of these objects. Do you feel there's a certain, as a designer, there is a certain Italianness about everything here, but it's a sort of subtle play on that? You know, as a designer, was it a pleasure to become involved in Interno Italiano? What's your opinion on the project?
I think that there is one aspect of the collection that came out in some object, like the one on which I'm sitting on. It's a footstool. His name is Bard.
It looks like a stone bollard that you might see in any street in Rome or Milan. It is indeed very Italian object, but beautiful. And it is soft, I should explain. It's got a foam padding and you've made it into a stool, and you're sitting on it right now, and you look quite comfortable.
Yeah, I'm really comfortable. And everyone who look at this say, Matt, what is this? What kind of material is? I think that is really Italian, is a kind of ironic way of designing.
That was designer Dario Gaudio there, and before that, Giulio Iacchetti of the Interno Italiano brand, which was exhibiting at the Maison et Objet Paris Design Fair earlier this week. This is Section D with me, David Pleasant. Today, we're bringing you all the fun of the design fair. Parisian it may be, but Maison et Objet sure isn't a French affair alone. Lined on a central stretch in Hall 7, independent brands from the United Kingdom are proving how the country's modernist past informs contemporary craft. Is British design shaking off nostalgia and growing into a great British wave? Chiara Rimella spoke to textile designer Eleanor Pritchard about where her geometric weaves stand between tradition and innovation.
The range that we're probably best known for are the blankets and the cushions, and we're showing the full collection here. This year, we're launching a number of new fabrics in our upholstery range, which is a much newer range for us. We're very excited about those. And we have four new patterns and also four plain colours in that collection, which are just launched a couple of months ago, and we're showing them at Maison for the first time. And then we also have a collaboration that we've done with a company called Hitchmelius, and it's a little furniture collection which we've developed together from one of their standard ranges. We've picked out frames that we liked, powder coated them, really changed the feel of them. So we're showcasing that collection as well.
It's not the first time that you work on furniture, but how is this collection different? And I can see it's very vivid colours and quite bright. What brought you to this?
Well, as you say, we've obviously shown the upholstery fabric on different furniture. We've done projects with different companies in the past. We've worked with a Japanese company called Sfera a number of times, who generally make wooden furniture. So we thought to show it in a different way, we would have a collection that has metal frames. And this is very slim line metal frames, so it really emphasizes the fabric. It's nice sinuous shapes, which again, on the patterns, it's interesting how they respond to the curves in the shapes of the furniture.
And going back to the atmosphere of Maison this year, how does it feel for it to be so focused on the European market? As we can see, you're surrounded by a couple more British stands. Do you feel that the European focus is important in a fair like this, and how does it enrich the experience for the visitors?
It feels very European but also international, and for us it's really the key show for reaching audiences beyond the UK. So we sell widely across Europe, especially in the more colder areas. So Scandinavia is a very good market for us, Germany, Switzerland, but we also meet buyers here from Japan, from Hong Kong, from Taiwan and the US. So for us it's a really great international showcase, and it's great to be surrounded by stands, you know, showing work from all over the world as well. It feels like a really the right place to be.
And with regards to the Britishness of the brand and how it's also surrounded by other British brands, do you feel the Britishness of your identity is helping? Is brand British becoming in a way more appreciated also abroad? Do you feel like it's rising again after a moment of not being so prominent on the international scene?
I hope so. I mean, I think for us, the fact that we manufacture everything in Britain, we weave in Wales, Scotland and Lancashire, so we're really sort of covering the UK. And, you know, the designs have a lot of sense of heritage from traditional British designs. They're kind of our designs, but the techniques are old ones from British textile traditions. So it's really nice that there's an appreciation now of that. And I think being in a block with other British designers, it maybe showcases what's happening, that, you know, there's very traditional companies here, there's much newer companies, there's exciting stuff going on. And it does feel like a really positive thing. And we found that buyers respond very well as well. You know, they like the fact that it's all made in the UK. That's a really good selling point.
That was Monocle's Chiara Rimella there, speaking to designer Eleanor Pritchard at the Maison et Objet trade show, which took place in Paris earlier this week. This is Section D with me, David Pleasant. Now to end the show, which this week has been a Maison et Objet Paris Design Show special, we couldn't possibly leave out some of the vital occupiers of many homes. Founded in 2013 near Nuremberg, the Miyakara brand has focused on providing well-designed objects for dogs and their owners. And this year, Miyakara picked up an award for their dog's daybed Leto, which was pictured at their stand being occupied by a rather attractive schnauzer model. I spoke to Miyakara's founder and director, Sebastian Zweig, as his firm launches a new line for cats.
We have a dog and I have a background in the furniture industry, and we couldn't find anything suitable which is functional but at the same time well designed in the market. And then we thought, there is a niche in the market, why not fill it ourselves? And we bought a product which we were not happy with, and then we said, let's design our own products. And then in the beginning we designed products by ourselves. And now we're also working together with renowned international designers. Like for this daybed here, we work with Gert Kokut. He's a designer from Belgium. And we said we wanted to have a bed for the dog that he can rest on during the day, not necessarily sleep on during the night. For that, we have our box bed.
And explain this. So this is various sizes of cushioned beds, and this isn't very much for sleeping, is it? And have you tried the products, I presume?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then our dogs ourselves, obviously they are testing it quite frequently. Whenever we design something new and have new prototypes, we bring it in and test it first ourselves, and then we ask fellow friends, you know, that have animals as well to test it. It's very important because our products are first and foremost functional, and second, they are designed nicely. And also this one here, this bed is designed in a way that it's functional for the dog. It has a special mattress made out of viscoelastic foam, which adapts to the form of the body or and shape of the dog by temperature and gives it the ultimate sleeping comfort, really.
Talking about that kind of adapted and designed specifically, you know, for the dog and the owner in mind, do you think this sort of industry, if you can call it that, it's a very niche industry, but do you think it's prone to gimmickry and sort of products that, you know, are aimed towards dogs and pets when really that very little design thought has gone into it? Have you identified that as a problem?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is one of the main problems. As I said before, the first problem really is that most of the products are not even functional. And then second, obviously, they don't fit into a nice interior design. And more people are living with their pet at home and call it a member of the family. And if you have a member of a family, you want to give them something nice. And then it needs to be functional, but also nicely designed because you want to put it into a nice interior design. That's basically it.
And finally, you're launching a new product for another family friend, another friend in the home. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's our new range that we are launching especially for cats, Miyakara Gatto. The reason behind that is basically that a lot of our customers bought the cushions that we make for dogs also for their cats. And they have approached us and asked us, why don't you do anything for cats? And then we said, well, we can think about that, but then also we need to have a cat of our own to understand the animal and to understand the needs of the animal. And then we got a cat, and it's our seventh family member now. And
you bought the cat to try out your pieces?
Not primarily, but because our son wanted one of them.
You don't want to say that in front of the cat, I don't imagine.
That's right, but she knows. No, our youngest son wanted to have a cat anyhow, so it was a perfect fit, and we got a cat, and then we designed products for the needs of the cat as well. And
did the cat like the product?
She loved it. You can see it on our new making of video on our website, where we are showing the photo shoot that we had in July this year, and there she is in there and experiencing and enjoying the products.
And that was Sebastian Zweig of the Miyakara pet-centric design brand from Germany. And sadly, that's all we have time for on this Maison et Objet Design Fair special of Section D. We'll be back at the same time next week. If you've missed any of this week's show, or for our back catalogue, you can head to monocle.com, SoundCloud, or iTunes and listen again. This show was put together by Alex Funnell. If you have any comments or queries or questions, you can contact me, David Pleasant, at dmp@monocle.com. As always, thanks for listening and goodbye.